tell you, I am a desperate man, a desperate man. Take it.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is there is this thing? Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news have brought to you live.
Welcome to the Friday edition of CKUT's community news program, Off the Hour. Today is November 13th, 2020, and my name is Sarah Jesmer. I'll be your host today. CKUT broadcasts from the unceded traditional territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Ganigahaga, one of the founding nations of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. I'm recording this episode on Jojage, or so-called Montreal. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
C is for
cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K is for
kitten.
Cam.
C, wait. Fianrupsy. U, unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T.
Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C. K.
I can't think of a U one. T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.
This week, Montreal unveiled its draft 2021 budget. We'll be taking a closer look at that later on this hour. One thing we'll say now is that it's balanced for the first time in years. In COVID news, Premier François Legault said that he's considering closing schools, but there's no official announcement yet. Spikes in COVID numbers are happening in Montreal, and Quebec is reporting that the province has reached 120,000 cases since the start of the pandemic. 237 people incarcerated in prisons in Canada have tested positive for COVID-19, up from 125 in the last few weeks of October. Montreal Detention Centre, formerly Bordeaux, is seeing the most positive cases in Quebec institutions overall. And last week, a vigil was held in honor of Sheffield Matthews. Matthews was a father and worked at a seniors' home. He was shot by a police officer in Montreal's NDG neighborhood after being called for a mental health crisis. He passed away. The time is just after 5 p.m. My name is Sarah. Up first on this week's episode, Bill 21 is back in the courts as of last week. Litigation will continue for more than a month in Montreal's Superior Court.
Madame la Présidente.
Bill 21 was controversially adopted in June of 2019. Provincial leaders say that they want to protect the separation of church and state. Bill 21 does that, say supporters, by making it unlawful to wear religious symbols if you're a public servant. It's been challenged multiple times before and since its adoption.
Merci, Gabriel. Merci, Monsieur le Président, Monsieur le Ministre, Mesdames et Messieurs, députés de l'Assemblée. Merci de m'accorder ces quelques minutes pour vous entretenir à propos du projet de loi 21.
This is Idil Issa speaking in front of the Assembly last spring, before the adoption.
Les minorités religieuses du Québec n'ont pas été invitées à s'exprimer, compte tenu qu'elles seront les plus affectées par cette loi. Je suis ici devant vous en tant que citoyenne qui appartient à plusieurs groupes minoritaires. Je suis une femme, je suis noire et je suis musulmane. À cause de qui je subis plusieurs barrières en termes de la discrimination. Toutefois, j'ai réussi à compléter un bac en philosophie en sciences et sciences politiques à l'Université de McGill, où j'ai commencé mes études avec 8 bourses de mérite. Hier, il y avait le lancement d'une consultation sur le racisme systémique à Montréal. un pas important pour reconnaître les effets négatifs que les institutions peuvent avoir sur les expériences vécues des citoyens et citoyennes quand la discrimination est validée par les lois et les politiques de l'État. Entre-temps, ici à l'Assemblée nationale du Québec, on est en train de légiférer un nouveau plafond de verre qui empêchera les femmes musulmanes, entre autres minorités religieuses, d'atteindre des postes d'autorité ou d'être enseignantes. Durant ces auditions parlementaires, on a dit que la loi 21 est une continuation de la révolution tranquille, un héritage du passé. On a aussi dit que la loi 21 représente la culmination inévitable du mandat de la CAQ, un consensus. Mais on n'a pas encore parlé du futur. Alors, je suis ici pour parler du futur de Québec. Je représente aussi le futur de cette nation, intelligente, intégrée, contribuant d'une façon positive à ma société, ayant la confiance de mes pairs, utilisant ma voix non pour renforcer les préjugés de la majorité envers l'autre, mais pour créer l'espace pour le dialogue. Là, je m'adresse directement au gouvernement de la CAQ. J'ai l'intention de briser ce plafond de verre que vous êtes en train de construire, qui va amoindrir mes options et va me stigmatiser dans la société. Si ça me prend 5, 10, 15 ou 20 ans, je briserai ce plafond de verre et tout autre plafond de verre qui m'empêcheront d'atteindre mon potentiel. Monsieur le ministre, j'aurai une position d'autorité et je serai plus juste que vous et je nuirai pas aux intérêts d'une minorité déjà vulnérable dans l'exercice de mes fonctions. Pour conclure, l'élément la plus importante que cette loi n'a pas pris en considération, c'est une femme.
She joins community members across Montreal and Canada who say Bill 21 disproportionately targets Muslim women, Sikh, and Jewish people. Head coverings can't be hidden like other faith symbols. That's what McGill Law students say too.
Yes, so my name is Asia Sadiq.
And my name is Fanny Kerr.
Asia Sadiq and Khadija Ahmad are part of the Muslim Law Students Association of McGill. Fanny Kerr is part of Rad Law McGill. They organized a sit-in last week during the opening testimony of oppositional lawsuits outside the Palais de Justice. These lawsuits challenging the adoption of Bill 21 were combined into one for this latest legislative push. Organizers say they want to send a message for Quebecers to pay attention. Here's Fanny, Asia, and Khadija in conversation together about it.
As a Muslim woman who does wear a religious symbol, the headscarf, which is very visible, I cannot hide it. Like, you know, someone who's Christian can easily hide their cross. As a Muslim woman, I can't do that. My headscarf is always visible. This law is very, it's very problematic. It completely eliminates or excludes certain groups of people from working in the public sphere, people who are highly qualified and perfectly capable of doing their jobs. And it excludes them on the basis of their identity and their religious values, which is completely against everything we are for as Canadians. As Canadians, we are taught since an early age that we have the freedom to believe or not to believe in whatever we want to. And we are taught to be who we wants to be and to be proud of who we are. And we are constantly fed this message of multiculturalism. And I fail to see how this law can fit into that narrative of multiculturalism and vivre ensemble.
Yes, well, so I'm an atheist person. And even then, I think this law frustrated me very, very deeply. First of all, because it is a completely blatantly discriminatory law. And for me, like just knowing that, even if I was not personally concerned by it and would not affect me personally, my career, it was really frustrating to see and really enraging to see that many people of my colleagues who would be as qualified as I would be or even more qualified would be deprived of many jobs that job opportunities. And I grew up, I was in a high school that was very, very multicultural. There was a lot of people from very different religious backgrounds. We had really religious teachers who would openly be religious about us, and that never impeded on my education. It enriched it very much so, and I really, really appreciate it. So yeah, I think being in a really multicultural environment showed me how important it is to to like promote such environments and how this law should not be held in 2020. And I think it was just intricately, I was completely against this law because I knew how about its effects and how we should not have laws that are this discriminatory.
So there is no basis for this law and there's no basis for this discrimination. It is completely illogical, and I cannot really express how outraged I am to be able to even propose this law and have it accepted. I feel like Quebecers don't understand the extent of the harm and the damage that this law will cause now and for the future generations.
Yeah, and I think it's a law that goes against the basic rights and liberties that we have guaranteed in both of our charters. And to see that a government is so willing and motivated to pass such a law and to uphold such a law, knowing it goes against the core constitutional values, and that they know it does because they use the non-withstanding clause and they are defending it and they're trying to find different arguments to ensure that this law will be constitutional. So, you know, you see that the government knows what they're doing and they're still really willing to push for this law and to ensure that it is maintained. And I think that for me is completely outrageous and really, really frustrating.
I worked really hard to get to law school. It wasn't easy for me. I'm the first person in my family to go to university. And all of my efforts could be completely thrown down the drain because of this law, because there are certain careers that I cannot aspire to if I want to continue upholding my religious beliefs, which is not a question for me. I cannot aspire to be a Crown prosecutor or work for a list of ministries and tribunals in Quebec. I invite Quebecers to reflect on how this bill fuels more inequality for minorities. So people who are the most affected by this law are Muslim women and people who wear the turban, so mostly Sikh men and women. And these two groups, so Muslims and Sikhs, also represent minority groups and immigrant communities and people of color. So it is not just an issue of religious equality, but also a question of racial equality. And all of this is happening in the backdrop of recent events that our society is already having a hard time dealing with and accepting, such as systemic racism and the treatment towards Indigenous populations and the tragic death of Joyce Ishaquan, and the fact that our Premier, François Legault, has outright negated the question of the existence of systemic racism in Quebec. So this law is coming from a government that is entrenching more discrimination in society, all while denying that it even exists.
And I think what I would say to Quebecers who also don't understand why it's a sexist or racist law, because it's not written explicitly, you know, Muslim women cannot hold these positions. It's also ask yourself, like, there's this law that forbids religious symbols. Can a Christian person hide their cross, like, behind their shirt? Yes, they can. Can a Muslim woman hide her veil? No, she can't. So it's also, like, asking yourself concretely how this law will affect people. So, you know, I think it's going back to the basics also. And from there, you know, saying, because it can be hard maybe for someone who's an atheist to understand, like, okay, but why wouldn't someone take off their religious symbols? Like, it's not that hard. I mean, you just take off your veil for like one day and you can get the job that you want. But, you know, it's asking yourself, it's part of your identity. It's something that is extremely important to you. And maybe reflect on if you had something that was, you know, very, very important to you, to your identity, I don't know, a certain object that was not linked to a religion, but that was linked to your personal values and something that's been with you forever. And they're telling you that if you can't have that with you, you cannot hold this job. And for you, it's extremely important. So I think it's also like, if you can't picture religion and you can't picture yourself being in a religious environment, try to transpose it in something else and to ask yourself, yeah, to put yourself in people's toes and in people's shoes and reflect on how it's not because it's not written explicitly in the law that it won't have other effects.
I guess part of the problem is people not understanding what a hijab means for a person and not understanding what a turban means. It is, I don't know if there is a metaphor or a way to compare, but I don't know, like, could we compare it to our name? Like, you know, our name defines us, right? If we were to say, oh, we'll call you by a different name because we don't like your name, like, I don't know if that captures the extent of how important a religious symbol is for someone of faith. But it is like saying that, you know, you have to change your name because we don't like your name. It's that deep and it's that problematic.
And I think that one thing that's important too is when you're someone who is atheist, who's white, who has been like in the dominant part of society, also talk to people who are experiencing this, who are experiencing this law, or people who wear the hijab. Like, I remember when I was in high school, like in sec 3 or something like that, I asked my friend who was a Muslim woman, and she identified as a feminist, and she was very, very feminist, super progressive, super open-minded. And I asked her, as a 14-year-old kid, like, oh, would you wear the hijab later? And she said, well, of course I would. And for her, it was super important. And I asked her, I remember, like, is it contrary to your feminist values? And she was like, no, not at all. And then she explained to me also, like, what it meant for her and how her feminist values were absolutely not in contradiction with it, her wearing her hijab. And I think it's also, like, talking to people who experience this and asking too, and not just staying in your bubble and talking to other white people and other atheists about it, but also to people of faith and how, what it means for them, and how it's not contrary to a lot of values that people want to be at the basis of our society.
I think what we're talking about, when we're talking about Bill 21, we are talking about what the religious symbol might mean, but now we're kind of veering into a conversation that I don't think is necessarily the place for governments to dictate to people what the value of that symbol is or not. So, for instance, like when we're talking about the hijab, now we're going back, I think we're regressing back to a conversation that I think was being had in the mid-2000s and is continuing to be had, which is the hijab an oppressive symbol? And this is just a product of post-9/11 politics and, you know, the excessive attention and that Islam has been receiving by the media and by folks who are not Muslim. And I think it's not our place to have that conversation, because it's not the court's place to discuss religious dogma, and it's not the place of Bill 21 to dictate to people what a religious symbol should mean. Like, in Canada, we have the freedom of belief and freedom of religion, and we should honor that. And if we're saying that the state should not be religious, why are we having a conversation about the value of this religious symbol without really providing a context on what Islam is to people and the point of view that Muslims might have on this religious symbol? And now we're just opening Pandora's box because we're not well equipped to have this conversation. I don't know if we should be having this conversation and asking this question almost 20 years after 9/11.
I would ask our listeners, I'm sure some people know people who are for this bill. I know people who are for this bill. I'm sure everybody knows people who are for this bill. I would invite our listeners to just have a dialogue with people and ask them to listen to our what we've been just discussing, and ask them to reflect on how this bill is going to impact their fellow citizens and the future generations and the children who are growing up today and being told that because of who they are and because of their values, that they will be excluded from certain jobs for no other reason, for no acceptable reason. So my actionable item is just to invite dialogue and invite reflection from people's friends and peers and family members, because I think we need to have these discussions.
Have a dialogue with your own self. I think sometimes we forget to really revisit our own spirituality, our own faith, our own values. And I say this because I think it's really important that we all be introspective. And I think we all be introspective in terms of how we engage with one another, but how we engage with the subject. Because I find that as we slowly become, maybe in Canada, less religious, maybe that's the reason Bill 21 hasn't received as much traction in terms of discussion. I think there are many reasons, but maybe one of them is that. And I think we need to also think about what kind of society do we want to live in? And I think, especially in light of the American politics, I think we really need to take time and think about our society and the Canada we envision 10, 15, 20, 50 years from now. We're dealing with so many issues. And I think the way we can resolve many of these issues is by embracing difference and by being more inclusive and being respectful of others because of, you know, the very global nature of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think it's important we think about that. And then afterwards, engage as much as you can, because I don't think it's possible for everyone to come to a sit-in, for instance, because of the pandemic or because of where they might be. But have conversations with others, like Asiya said, and read about it and try to understand different worldviews, because we're all better off for it.
To law students and jurists, but who are pro Bill 21, but also to reflect on why you went into law. Did you go into law to defend liberty, to defend equality, or for other reasons? And what's your role as someone who holds such a power, such a privilege of having legal education, having a legal background, and how you can use that to further the good in society and to help society evolve as a more inclusive place for everyone, for every culture, for a diverse society. And I think to also reflect on the legal aspects of this law, because you have a certain insight on the law that not everyone has the privilege to have. And even on the legal side, like how can you view this law? And I think it's important to reconsider your place and your opinion on this law and be open to listening to other narratives and actually reflect on your role and considering the privilege you have and the power that you hold.
Bill 21 is such a bad law. It really, really is. I think it's not... I don't think it achieves even what the majority of Quebecers want, which is religious neutrality. And I think we are misleading ourselves to think by removing a couple of people who might wear visible religious symbols like Muslim female teachers, that we're going to miraculously become religiously neutral. I think it's just a bad law for even what it says it aims to achieve. I think it's very superficial and just really discriminatory and unjust. And I think if we are committed as a society to creating a public space in which no religion is favored in relation to another, then I think we really need to reconsider and actually think about the issue, which is intangible. And religious symbols are tangible. And I think we're not achieving what even the bill says it's going to say. It's not even achieving what the bill says it's going to achieve.
I would like to end with this quote by Martin Luther King, which always resonates with everything in when we're talking about inequality. And he said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And whatever affects one directly affect all indirectly. And here he's resonating with this interconnectedness that Khadija just mentioned and our common destiny. And I think that if we allow Quebec to get away with this cruel and callous law, it is basically paving the way for more harm. And it is going to cause more destruction in our society because I don't know if we have time to get into this, but the political leadership, it sets a tone for what is acceptable in society. And the message that Bill 21 sends to society is that hijabs and turbans and religious symbols are not acceptable in our society. So apart from the clear and discriminatory effects of the bill, there are unintended or indirect consequences of Bill 21. And this has been shown, there's data that shows that after this bill was tabled, Muslim women reported receiving more hate incidents, verbal and physical abuse. They reported being spat on in the public, which is completely disgusting. People have tried to rip off their hijabs. So in a backdrop of society in which Islamophobia is already on the rise, this kind of law gives legitimacy for people to hate and to act on that hatred. So this bill goes against cohesion and harmony in a society as diverse and multicultural as Quebec. And I think the government needs to take responsibility for the impact of their words and their legislation and the kind of sentiments that they are promoting. I think this bill is going to cause more division and hate in society. And the best antidote to hate and division is to create opportunities for everyone and to make people feel accepted and allow them to integrate into society instead of taking away their jobs and asking them to choose between their identity and their livelihoods. So I think this law is going to take Quebec down a very dark and dangerous path that no one has any interest going down. And I think it's very dangerous to sow division in society. And I don't want to elaborate more on that. We see that happening all around the world. There is horrible things happening in the world because of division and because of hate. And that is not what we want. No, that is not what anybody wants for Quebec and for Canada.
I totally agree. And I'd like to just add that I think what we've seen in recent waves of immigration is that people, especially the Muslim community, have been integrating within Canadian society, within Quebec society. It's just that we have to understand that of course we can learn the language and we can accept certain cultural practices and behave totally in accordance with a broader society. But you have to understand that we should let people integrate on their own terms too. And in their own terms, so long as it doesn't harm the rest of society. And a hijab doesn't harm society. And a turban doesn't harm society. And this idea that integration is not possible if we don't look identical to one another is really, really problematic and dangerous.
The last mention of it in the Assemblée Nationale on the provincial level was in May of 2019.
Time. C is for
cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K-Thor.
Kitten.
Cam.
See, wait. Fianrufzik. You. Unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C. K.
I can't think of a U one. T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.
La pandémie de COVID-19 est une situation sérieuse. Il faut continuer d'appliquer toutes les mesures de santé publique. Suivez les consignes locales sur les rassemblements, pratiquez la distanciation physique, lavez vos mains, portez un masque et téléchargez l'appli Alerte COVID. Si vous avez des symptômes, même légers, restez à la maison. Protégeons-nous les uns les autres. Détails au canada.ca/le coronavirus ou au 1-833-784-4397. Un message du gouvernement du Canada.
Welcome back to Off the Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. Earlier this hour, you heard from Edel Issa speaking on the assembly floor in 2019. You might remember her from an old episode of Off the Hour. Issa spoke at a vigil in remembrance for people killed by the police that took place in Laurier Park last month. She urged Montrealers to keep an eye on the policies coming out of the provincial level.
You cannot begin to act on a solution if you cannot even finish saying the problem's name. What I want to talk about is the provincial level. We have to push back against the CAQ and the GO. A lot of these laws and policies are being implemented at the provincial level, and we have to show Quebec that there's no consensus. We're all out here, and we oppose.
This October vigil was also a rally to defund the police, and Montreal has now officially said no. We're going to talk about that city budget. But first, to contextualize Montreal 9 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, here are some highlights from previous Off the Hour episodes. Last week, we heard from a housing advocate analyzing a new bylaw introduced for social and affordable housing development in Montreal.
Oh, there's a lot, but to keep it simple, 20% social housing is a slap in the face, considering the way that neighborhoods are being gentrified and the rise, the extreme rise in rents in Montreal, this number should be so much higher.
We heard from Chinatown merchants who say they need help, a call echoed by local business owners everywhere.
Something is bad happening in our neighborhood, and we've got to stop that. In order to do that, I need your help.
We heard from the federal government this summer about financial aid open to Canadians like CERB and the CESB, both of which have stopped, even as many provinces fall into a second wave. In a city full of artists, students, food and music industry workers, CERB was a net for many.
But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We still have a long journey ahead. Some sectors will bounce back more quickly than others. Many workers will be able to find work, but others won't. Over the past few months, Canadians have been able to count on the Canada Emergency Response Benefit to help them get through a tough time. And the reality is that even as we start to reopen, a lot of people still need this support to pay their bills while they look for work. That's why today, I am announcing that we will be extending eligibility for the CERB by 8 weeks.
And Verdun isn't the only neighborhood fighting for housing rights. We heard from the Park Extension, Villeray, and St. Michelle tenants who want evictions to stop during the pandemic. Montreal has resumed eviction courts this summer after a freeze.
In a lot of ways, COVID has exacerbated the existing housing crisis. It's ended up further restricting people's incomes at a time when rents are high and vacancy rates are historically low.
And if you're listening to this in Hochelaga or near the canal, there's an unprecedented so-called tent city near Desiree Square. Verdun's Lynn O'Donnell says it's created a visible mark on Montreal history.
Definitely. Tent city. I think it's a new phenomenon in Montreal. Not that there wasn't homelessness before, but this is something, you know, you would be more likely to see in cities like Vancouver. And I think that it's a major turning point in like homelessness visibility. So I think that would definitely stand out, at least for me.
And lastly, we heard what a people in mourning sound like, not only for those lost due to COVID-19, but also those lost after interactions with law enforcement.
For all the victims of police killings, so let's have all of them on this announcement. Could we get to the Raboon Police there?
Days after this audio was taken, the SPVM put out a report calling for more money for their department because of the changing, quote, realities of policing in Quebec. Montreal sought input on their budget in many ways, and its arrival has been long awaited. It came out on Thursday and was presented in a press conference with Mayor Valerie Plante.
For a third consecutive year, our administration has chosen to help small businesses, as requested, by reducing the non-residential tax base rate by 5% and by raising the threshold for this rate to $7,500,000. Today, more than ever, as our local businesses are shaken by the health crisis, this measure is necessary. As a result of action taken by our administration over the past 3 years, two-thirds of the non-residential immovable property owners will benefit from a total tax charge reduction for up to 16%. The second part of our budget is to make sure that we relaunch our city's economic activities in the way which we require. To do so, we are allocating an additional amount.
Plante made explicit mention of the ways the city is freezing residential and business property owner taxes for 2021. She also mentioned STM fares will go down next year for seniors using the STM.
We are well aware that the current pandemic has contributed to the reduction.
Halting taxes like this means a loss of revenue for the city that measures over $50 million, but the budget is balanced. So on this next section of Off the Hour, we're just going to read excerpts from the budget. You can find a copy of it online. The proposal is 446 pages long and only available to view in French. but we're going to do it in English for as long as we have time for on the rest of this hour. This reading will last around 20 minutes.
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm part of the news collective at CKUT. Because of the pandemic, CKUT broadcasts a mix of news, podcasts, and longer forms of audio. So today we're going to read a bit of the Montreal budget for the rest of the hour. We'll start on page 73 of 446 because this section is heavy on narration. Up to this point in the report, there are many graphs and data points. This has been roughly translated from French written editions. The 2021 Economic Outlook. A look at the world. The global economy is currently facing many risks and uncertainties. Global attention is currently focused on the COVID-19 pandemic affecting all continents. However, the effectiveness of the measures put in place to curb its spread and limit its effect on the economy differs from country to country. The pandemic is thus expected to largely explain a drop in global GDP of 4.6% in 2020 before being further controlled and leading to a rebound of about 5.1% in 2021. The global importance of the pandemic, however, is causing many of the world's most vulnerable people to take a backseat to the pandemic. Other sources of uncertainty, such as the outcome of the U.S. elections, unknown at the time of the tensions between China and the United States and several Western countries, the recent Beijing stranglehold on Hong Kong, military tensions on the Sino-Indian border, fighting in the Caucasus, the uncertain outcome of the U.S.-China trade negotiations between the United States and the European Union, and between the European Union and the United Kingdom as a result of Brexit. In addition to all of these elements, there has been an increase in the number of major climatic events, forest fires, floods, droughts, etc., in the four corners of the globe. Quebec and Canada. Quebec and Canada were hit hard by the pandemic as early as spring of 2020. In the face of the health crisis, entire sectors of the economy have been shut down and vast programs have been put in place to assist the affected population. In just 2 months from February and by April 2020, the unemployment rate in Quebec had risen from 4.5% to 17%, down to 13.7% a year earlier. Months later, as deconfinement began, building on recovery, the Conference Board of Canada expects the employment rate to fall to 5.8% by 2021. Quebec having proceeded to a reopening of its economy more quickly than other provinces, the fall of the Quebec GDP will appear less steep in 2020, at -7%, than that of Canada as a whole, which is at -7.8%. As a result of this sequence, the growth of Quebec's GDP in 2021 will be less pronounced than that of the previous decade. Canadian GDP 5.7 versus 6.5%. In the short term, the magnitude of the damage that will be inflicted by the second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic remains unknown and could be quickly lead to a revision of these projections. Economic growth and employment in Montreal. At the time of writing, the Montreal metropolitan region in Quebec has paid the most heavy toll of the pandemic, both in terms of the number of people infected and the number of lives lost taken away. The effect of the economy has also been major on several fronts, but it is too early to tell. To get a complete picture, if its effects are perceived as temporary in certain industries, such as tourism, the current pandemic is causing upheavals that will have repercussions that will be felt the decades to come in areas as varied as urban planning, the organization of the work, education, housing, etc. Despite this unfavorable context, the Conference Board of Canada predicts that the Montreal region will be able to continue to play its role as a driving force for the Quebec economy in 2020 and 2021. The GDP of the metropolitan area will fall by 6.9% in 2020 before rebounding by 6% in 2021, compared to a 6.9% decline in -7% and 5.7% for Quebec's GDP. Numerous public, private, and institutional projects will support, including the construction industry, Turcotte Interchange, Metropolitan Express Network, new National Bank of Canada head office, etc. In May 2020, the value of construction sites of 5 million and more on the island of Montreal totaled 32.2 billion, of which 44.6 was invested in the institutional and commercial sectors. The unemployment rate in Montreal is expected to drop by 9.4% in 2020 to 6.5% in 2021, a level comparable to that recorded in 2017. The real estate market. The residential real estate market, Montreal's housing market, has been showing signs of overheating for the past 2 years. One of the indicators of the phenomenon, the sales by / new listings ratio, SNR, is maintained in a way that is the overall temperature has been above the 70% overheating threshold since the summer of 2018. In addition to this, there are now signs of increasing price acceleration. Indeed, in the second quarter of 2020, the average price of housing in the metropolitan area was 11.8% higher than a year earlier, an unprecedented increase in more than 15 years. The current COVID-19 pandemic is not unrelated to this growth observed in several markets around the world. Indeed, the combined adoption of broad government programs in response to the pandemic and a very accommodating monetary policy allowed for income maintenance of many households while reducing borrowing costs. In addition, changes in buyer preferences are observed. At a time when many people are contemplating working more at home, many are willing to spend more of their resource to better housing. In this context, there is a recovery in demand while supply remains limited. On the resale market, which increases pressure on prices, residential housing will continue to decline from 25,100 in 2008 to 25,100 in 2009, 2019 to 23,900 and in 2020 and to 23,100 in 2021, which is still way well above the average for the last 10 years. Faced with considerable price increases, many people give up on their first property, which also increases the pressure on the rental market. Indeed, a growing number of citizens have difficulty finding housing. The non-residential real estate market for office space. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced companies and institutions to reevaluate their footprint and their needs in order, of course, to respect our short-term distancing measures, but also to adapt to the changing reality of work in the medium term. Market activities have therefore considerably slowed down, with many companies preferring to postpone their real estate decisions. According to the firm CBRE, the overall vacancy rate in Montreal area has risen from 10.2% to 11.2% between the second and third quarter of 2020. Downtown Montreal has been particularly affected, with the vacancy rate rising from 7.3% to 8.7% quarter over quarter, which remains below the average of 9.2% over the last 5 years. The market for industrial space. The situation is quite different in the industrial premises market. Demand remains strong, with rents are on the rise. The vacancy rate decreased again in the third quarter to a low of 1.5%, unprecedented low for 2.5%, and the number of projects in early stages is still growing. We're going to jump ahead 3 pages past some of graphs to administrative services. Our mission statement. Under the authority of the Executive Committee, the Chief Executive Officer is responsible for the administration of the municipality. To this end, it plans, organizes, directs, and controls all activities of the City of Montreal. To support its activities, it delegates to 4 Assistant General Managers the supervision of the central services, with the exception of 5 major departments with critical functions within the city, and has retained the leadership of Human Resources, Finance, Legal Affairs, and the Police and Fire Safety. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Human Resources Department adjusted or postponed several priority actions announced in 2020 to focus on managing the health crisis. Its key achievements have helped to maintain the availability of labor for the delivery of the program, essential services at the height of the pandemic, and then continued to ensure the gradual resumption of activities by taking into account the health and safety of its workforce. The rigorous work of the finance department has resulted in good credit ratings with rating agencies, despite the economic impact of the health crisis. On another level, the services implemented in the second pre-budget consultation through an online survey for know the population's expectations in the context of the pandemic and its priorities in the context of the fiscal year of 2021. It is also continuing to modernize its activities in order to improve the quality of its services. The Legal Affairs Department has been a key player in the many aspects of managing the health crisis caused by the pandemic, in particularly by continuing the consolidation exercise and modernization of its activities. During the year 2020, it has provided a significant number of advisories, legal counsel on thousands of cases, in addition to maintaining the operations of the largest court in the world, in Canada, in terms of the volume of cases handled. The year 2020 has been marked by several emergency measures, including those related to the pandemic, which have required the fire department to change several operating procedures in order to maintain the services of the population. Despite unprecedented challenges, it has been able to continue to develop a strong organizational structure in occupational health and safety while maintaining a high-performance service for the population of Montreal. It should be noted that its Emergency Measures Coordination Center has been mobilized for more than 170 days for the various emergency measures and remains in the status mode for an indefinite period of time. The police service, SPVM, has put in place a series of exceptional measures in the context of the global pandemic in order to pursue its mission to its citizens, while preserving health of its police force. Among the many achievements of the SPVM in 2020, let's think of implementation of the first policy on police stops in Quebec, to the completion of the first phase of the deployment of the police vehicles, as well as the addition of school crossings guarded by a brigadier. Our priority actions in 2021. The Human Resources Department will continue to optimize occupational health and safety measures, particularly in the context of the health crisis. In the area of teleworking, it will provide tools for managers to adapt their management style to the new reality of the telework by leading some pilot projects, particularly on collaborative basis. The master plan for diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as the promotion of attraction strategies, are also among the key priorities of 2021. Finally, negotiations for the renewal of several collective agreements are ongoing and will continue. In an economic context disrupted by the pandemic, the finance department will be responsible for 2021 with an operating budget of over $6 billion in the first ever 10-year program of fixed assets for investments of more than $18 billion. In addition, it will continue the reorganization and the optimization of all activities related to the finance function for gains in the efficiency and the benefit of the population. The Legal Affairs Department will continue to provide the Metropolis of Quebec with support and guidance, first-level legal advice. Mobilization, deployment, and maintenance of staff expertise will be a key priority in 2021. Efforts will continue to be made to implement new computer tools to improve its activities and services to the population. The Fire Department will continue to mobilize its Emergency Measures Coordination Center, depending on the state of the health situation. It will set up a modus operandi for the Center of Fire Safety Communications to ensure that service is maintained regardless of risk, external, pandemic, flood, climate change, or earthquake. The review of the various administrative processes of the management staff to the operations, the implementation of the various of a new active approach to training, the modification of the regulations for the fire safety are among the priority actions of 2021. In 2021, the SPVM will continue to be a key player in the management of the crisis related to COVID-19. It will also take part in reflections that go beyond the borders of the agglomeration, notably by maintaining its activities in their search for promising practices in collaboration with its partners in order to take action on the systemic components of social and racial profiling. It will continue to be involved with community partners in policing and peace enforcement on social issues such as homelessness, mental health, and elder abuse. It will also do everything possible to ensure an ever-growing presence in the field of road safety. We're going to skip this page 93 in the PDF because of the community discussions about defunding the police. Page 93, Police Department. 2021 operating budget, page 93, Police Department. 2021 operating budget, $679.1 million, an increase from $14.6 million. Total workforce is 5,916 people. Our mission statement. The mission of the Service de Police de la Ville de Montréal is to protect the life and property of its citizens, to maintain peace and security, and to protect the environment. Public safety, prevent and combat crime, and make sure that the public is safe, comply with the laws and regulations in force, Articles 48 and 69 of the Police Act. Our impact and achievements 2020. In partnership with the institutions, community groups, and the population in the Montreal agglomeration, the SPVM is committed to reducing crime, improving the road network, improving the quality of life, and improving the quality of life of the population, to promote a sense of security, develop a peaceful and safe living environment, while respecting the freedoms and rights guaranteed by the Quebec and Canadian charters. Actively present on the territory with its neighborhood stations, PDQ, its units, airport, metro, cavalry, water sports, motorcyclists, and its canine squad, the SPVM is at the heart of urban activities. Often the first to witness an emergency situation through its 911 emergency center, it is often the first to witness an emergency. Also many times the first to arrive at the scene of events. Its rapid intervention allows frequently diffuse delicate situations, assist injured persons, and to intervene promptly and strategically in high-risk situations in order to limit impacts on the safety of the population. The police also intervene on a daily basis with people in vulnerability homelessness, mental health issues, elder abuse, violence, etc., which makes the SPVM an important partner in the formulation of responses to social issues. Every day, its staff patrols the streets of Montreal agglomeration to prevent and respond to social issues and to reduce crime. It is also a major player in public events and demonstrations in order to maintain order, as in the situations created by the COVID-19 pandemic. The accompaniment and the supervision of peaceful demonstrations for the security of all citizens and road users. To ensure service delivery that meets the needs and expectations of the population, the SPVM ensures that its staff will act with integrity and in accordance with professional standards, which is done largely through skills, maintenance, and training. The SPVM's achievements for 2020 are numerous. Development and implementation of Quebec's first police stop policy. Development and implementation of the first Quebec policy on police stops for the entire province. Police officers of the SPVM, deployment of police arrest coaches and accompanied by an independent advisor from the community. Completion of the first stage of the deployment of police vehicles in order, in particular, to optimize the response to emergency calls. Participated in the consultations of the Police Realities Advisory Committee as part of the Department of Public Safety's police green paper process. Maintenance of peace and security, public safety prevention and reduction of crime, receipt and distribution of 911 calls. Participation in the Department of Public Safety Strategic Committee on the use of cameras by police officers, training of all patrol officers and some investigators on naloxone kits made accessible to police officers. Addition of 17 school crossings supervised by a crossing guard for a total of 537. Evaluate the safety of the facilities made to allow for travel into and from school. Safe and respectful of physical distancing instructions. Implementation of a double checking process for sexual assault records in order to improve practices and provide exemplary service for ensuring that the rights of victims are protected and respected at all times. Implementation in the context of the pandemic of a set of exceptional measures to continue the SPVM's mission to the population while preserving the health of police officers.
The SPVM is seeing a $14.6 million increase in their budget for 2021. And the budget to make affordable housing in Montreal has been cut more than $10 million.
Time.
C is for...
cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K for...
kitten.
Camp.
C, wait. U, unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C, K...
I can't think of a U one! T.
T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for... Montreal.
From November 12th to December 2nd, one of North America's major documentary film festivals will take place.
Montreal International Documentary Festival.
RIDM.
A 23rd edition, more engaged and accessible than ever.
In a virtual format never seen before.
The program includes the 100 best documentaries of the year.
This fall, we will be online, where all stories meet.
And you?
Check out our website at ridm.ca.
You're listening to CKUT. And in ongoing breaking news, police are responding to a possible hostage situation at Ubisoft Montreal this evening. This is a reminder that Off the Hour is pre-taped, so check your local news network for the most updated information. And finally, some news you can use. We just heard about the budget set to be decided upon in December. It's up for a local public review period starting in 5 days from now, November 18th to the 26th. That's, again, organized by the city. The province is holding a second consultation period specifically about police services. It's already started online. The next provincial consultation is on November 17th. It's called A Reflection on the Realities of Policing in Quebec. And Hoodstock, a group in Montreal North, and their community partners launched a declaration this last week. It reads, after being translated to English, "The population of Montreal North is experiencing a real abandonment. The recent media coverage of urban insecurity issues, including traumatic, even tragic events, and the calls to action issued by citizen mothers continue to reflect the neglect of the inhabitants of the Northeast. Global News covered a tent city in this neighborhood in September. Organizers are looking for signatures and awareness. Go to pourmontrealnord.ca for that. That is pour, P-O-U-R, Montreal, spelled out, Nord, N-O-R-D.ca. And just to keep track, residents in Montreal North, Verdun, St. Michel, Villeray, and Park Extension are trying to respond to housing precarity and keep neighbors in their homes. And mutual aid work is happening for those unhoused near Cabot Square and Milton Park. And Hochelaga is the site of a historic pop-up encampment. And Montreal very simply is spending less on housing in the upcoming 2021 budget. In lighter news, there's poetry happening with Volta Montreal tonight, that's V-O-L-T-A-M-T-L, and Slut Island Festival in the upcoming week. Also, McGill students, if you're listening, maybe you heard a fight club happen this last week? I have no answers there, but there are a lot of questions. And here's Vince Michel. He's a comedian in Montreal. He started a comedy news show to pass the time in quarantine.
Hello, my name is Vince, and I'm calling from Villemar in Montreal. And I'm a comedian, but since, there's not been too many comedy shows lately, my life has been generally feeling kind of down. But you know what? I'm up right now. I'm up because I listened to Coffee Talk with Vito Blaze, and that's a podcast that actually I do on iTunes and Spotify and YouTube, and you can find it if you just search Coffee Talk with Vito Blaze on iTunes, on Spotify, and YouTube. And, you know, since I've been listening to that podcast, man, I've been motivated and I've been inspired to do other things besides comedy, like cooking and climbing mountains and walking dogs. So if you guys are inspiring and looking to motivate to do other things besides sitting at home, then I advise you listen to Coffee Talk Your Damn Self, too. So thanks for listening to me, and thanks for listening to CKUT.
And that concludes this Friday's edition of Off the Hour, produced by me, Sarah Jesmer, and Montreal's Community News Collective. That includes Grace Kobold and Brian J. Isaac. A special thank you to Vince Michel for the voicemail. The song you're listening to is Dr. Dogs. For more info on anything that you've heard tonight, or if you'd like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please reach out to us at CKUT Community News Department at 514-448-4041. Again, 514-448-4041, extension 6788. Or email me at newsintern@ckut.ca. Again, newsintern@ckut.ca. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at CKUT News or connect with us on Facebook, search Off the Hour. And stay tuned for Cafe Next.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
We'll be right back.
pandémie, CKUT a décidé de rapporter indéfiniment notre campagne de financement annuelle. Mais nous apprécions toujours les dons pour soutenir nos opérations durant la fermeture. Le moment présent exige des nouvelles approches créatives, et des douzaines d'animateurs et animatrices ont relevé le défi en maîtrisant les logiciels pour vous livrer les émissions de très haute qualité. Nous sommes conscientes que CKUT 90.3 FM vous tient à cœur. C'est pour cette raison que nous faisons appel à votre générosité. Si votre situation vous le permet, nous vous invitons de vous rendre sur notre site web ckut.ca et de faire un don en appuyant sur le bouton vert de donation ou d'envoyer un chèque par la poste à Radio CKUT 3647 rue Université H3A 2B3 Montréal, Québec. Merci.